We've been talking about the gospel, and we've been talking about Paul in Romans preaching the gospel in a letter that he's written to people he hasn't met. So if you turn to Romans chapter 1, you'll see what we're getting at. We've spent some time in the introduction, Paul explaining who he was, what his identity is, what his role is, the fact that he is called to ministry and appointed to work. And he's been established, and he's writing to people who he hasn't met in Rome. And now he gets to the point after some introduction, after some declarations about his purposes and how he thinks of them and their reputation in the world. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. If you have a Bible at the end of a row, it's on page 1131. And here's what Paul says as he's writing to the Romans in verse 11. All right, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And so my question for you this morning is, what is the gospel? Is it a formula for knowing the right information? Is the gospel a story about Jesus by Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? What is the good news specifically? So a person who writes about scripture, Leon Morris, he's a Bible college principal. He's also the editor of the New International Bible Commentary on the New Testament. He writes this: really, to understand the gospel and accept it means a change in one's whole life. So what is the gospel is the question before us today. Now, you'll know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Paul writes this summary in verse 3 and 4. He says, this is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. He said, that's the most important thing that I'm passing on to you that I received. And then when we look at our communion remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ over here at the end of the service, Jesus Christ said, and this is Paul quoting him in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 25, in the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper and he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. The gospel is about a new covenant in Jesus Christ's blood. And Jesus said, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, when he set this ordinance of the Lord's Supper that we remember. Paul reminds us in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Do you notice that Paul talks about the death of Christ being significant in the gospel? What do you understand about the death of Christ? Why did he have to die? Are you aware that the scripture says there can be no forgiveness of sin without blood? How does that work? The life is in the blood. There was a ritual sacrifice where God sort of sanctified the butcher shop, and he said, before you bring your animal that you are going to eat, you will lay your hands on it and you will pray that your sins would be put on that animal. And as that animal dies in front of you, which happens in every butcher shop, all across our world. You buy meat from stores wrapped neatly in plastic, but those animals died, and there's a person who kills those animals. Every animal you eat is a dead creature. God, in the days when he established ritual sacrifice, he didn't say, I want you to kill animals to please me. He didn't do that. He said, when you kill the animals you eat, we are going to appropriate that death that happens among you all the time, and we're going to make it religiously significant. And he gives us a sacrificial system through Judaism, through the Levitical priesthood, so that people, and you see it from the beginning of time with the two brothers, Cain and Abel, offering sacrifices to God. Now they ate these animals. They offered the grain and the work of the field, but God takes what they offer and he makes it a kind of an acceptable expression of commitment to him and seeking relationship with him and remembering that he is the creator, he is the Lord of all things. All things exist because he put them into place, and the relationship with him is the basis of the offering, not that something was killed, or as mythologically people speculate, Cain offered bruised corn, and that's why it was unacceptable to God. That's not the quality of your work. It is the state of your heart as you bring to God what you have to offer. And here, Jesus Christ, death was in obedience to God's plan, death on a cross for sin. And Paul makes that very important. He makes that clear when he talks about it, when he talks about this gospel, this good news. Now later on, and you look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, look what Paul says. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. The Jew first and also the Greek, the religious person and also the thinker. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith.